Okay, well, I'll call the meeting to order.
He is having a drink. Randy!
But that's not an alcoholic drink. This is water.
No, that's...
Yeah, right.
White Claw? Is this hard? Yes. This is a... Is this got alcohol in it?
It does.
Seriously?
I'm glad this isn't the full board right now.
Let me see. There's no alcohol in this. No.
Okay. We'll believe you, Randy.
There is if you drink part of it and pour something else in it.
Yeah, no, this is just water. It's a, yeah, no. Yeah.
Randy, I wouldn't drink. Randy, it's called a hard seltzer.
And well, the kids just got it for me because it's a thirst quencher, they said. Spiked sparkling water. Okay, that must be it. Like, seriously, I'll be darned. No wonder I feel good. I'm just kidding.
Okay. All right. So we got that out of the way, Randy's drink.
Yeah.
Adopt or amend the agenda. Any additions, corrections, or anything? All right. Hearing none. Approve the minutes from April 20th, 2021. This is a action item. Needs approval.
So moved, Randy.
Lisa had her hand up.
Okay. I'm sorry. I'll second it.
Okay. Motion made and second. Any other discussion? Any corrections, additions, or anything? Do we need to call the roll on this one, Patty?
Yes, we do.
Okay.
Are we ready then?
Yep. Go ahead.
Okay. Lisa?
Aye.
Mike?
Aye.
Dave?
Aye.
Lee?
Aye.
Ed?
Aye.
Randy?
Aye.
Got it.
Then we have number four, the audit presentations by Bergen KDV. Are they going to present, Karen, or?
Yes, Nancy's here with us. Nancy Schultzenberg from Bergen KDV is here, and she'll walk you through our audit presentation.
Do the presentation, then we'll ask for approval.
All right. Good evening, everyone. I'm going to share my screen.
Okay. Disregard my comment. That was not supposed to go to everyone.
All right. Can you all see that? It should be just the front page of this.
See what?
My chat. I was talking about my Uncle Wally Yannick. Mike asked me a question privately. I sent it to everyone. It's going to be quite a night. I can already tell.
We're ready for the audit.
All right, good.
Pressure, Lisa.
Good, we're ready for the audit. All right. So first of all, I'd like to talk about the independent auditor's report. So you'll find this in the financial statement document. It's pages 1 through 3. It summarizes the audit, talks about your responsibilities and our responsibilities, and then issues an unmodified opinion, so a clean opinion, the best that we as your auditors can offer. Basically indicates that everything is fairly stated based on the results of an audit, of the audit. And then in addition to that report, we have a couple of other letters that we issue, the first one being the report related to government auditing standards. So these standards are required for the library based on some of the funding that you receive. And it requires us as your auditor to look closer at your internal control and also compliance with laws, regulations, contracts, and grants. Based on that, we did have one internal control finding, the lack of segregation of accounting duties. And this is the finding that the library has been receiving for as long as I've been working with the library. So a number of years. It's there due to the limited number of staff that you have in your business office taking care of those day-to-day duties. And then we issue our final report related to Minnesota legal compliance. So this covers 7 broad categories of legal compliance and is what the Office of the State Auditor requires us to look at and is very specific about the statutes that we test. And based on our test work related to those statutes, we had no findings this year. So clean bill of health when it comes to Minnesota legal compliance. Questions on any of those reports? All right, so we'll move on to some financial information. Oops, too fast. There, oh. A little trouble with my mouse, I guess. There we go. So you're seeing revenues? So this chart takes a look at the revenues for the library over the last 10 years, or 5 years, excuse me. And we're really just going to key in on 2019 versus 2020. So overall, revenues were down about $466,000 or 4.5%. And that came in several categories. If we go to the top of this chart, you'll see that the regional receipts were pretty consistent from 2019 to 2020, increasing about $3,000. Going down a little bit further, your interest income was down about $100,000 related to a change in the investments that you were holding and just lower interest rates overall for the year. The next category that saw a significant change is going to be that gifts and contributions, non-financial assets. And that had to do with the decrease in the books and other materials that were donated to the library during 2020. So down about $96,000. And then finally, the largest change is in that state and other grants. And the biggest driver of that was the Arts and Cultural Legacy Grant. As less was able to be spent on programming and some of the activities that occurred in the library due to COVID-related closures, it was also down. The pie chart that you see on this slide takes a look at your revenues as an allocation of percentage of the whole. And you can see that your regional receipts by far is the largest source of funding for the library at 74%. When we compare that to last year, the regional receipts were 70%. So on the previous page, we just saw that they barely changed at all. And the increase in the percentage you see here has to do with the decrease in the other categories. So it became a bigger piece of the pie, not necessarily a larger dollar amount for the year. So other changes to note there, state and other grants down, interest earnings down, and then that non-financial asset contribution number down. Moving then to the expenses, again, a five-year perspective. And overall, when we look from 2016 to 2020, there is a pretty significant decrease. You were pretty similar in 2019 to 2016, but again, a decrease for 2020. It's down about 6% or $584,000. Two categories that saw some pretty significant changes. First of all, your salaries and benefits, down about $467,000. Part of that had to do, again, with COVID-related closures and less part-time salaries, but most of it had to do with the change in the pension expense for the year. So every year, the library is allocated a share of the pension, and then differences in estimates are amortized over a number of years. So the pension expense changes, sometimes very significantly, and that's what you're seeing this year. That pension expense dropped by $365,000. So again, that accounts for most of the changes in the salaries and benefits line. Right below that, the operating line, operating expenses were also down. That was about $112,000, and this does have more to do with the COVID-related closures in the programming and the spending on that programming that just didn't occur in 2020. And then we have a similar pie chart for your expenses. And you can see that salaries and benefits, not surprisingly, do make up most of your expenses at 72%. And these percentages, when we look at a piece of the pie, are the same as they were last year. So very consistent spending as an allocation, from an allocation perspective, year over year. This next chart takes that information, puts it into a very high level look. So you have total revenues of almost $9.8 million for the year, total expenses of $9.3 million, and then your unrestricted net position was just under $3.1 million. So the unrestricted is what's available for future spending, and that did increase about $442,000 for the year, 6.6%. Something that doesn't show up in this chart but is different for this year is at the end of the year, there's $416,000 that was separated from this general fund. We moved that into custodial fund related to the health reimbursement account that the library has. So that money is not owned by the library. It's owned by the employees that have earned it, and it also is not available for spending. So it's no longer part of your net position at the end of the year. And then one last chart that does take a look at that net position. So overall, net position was up about $160,000. And when we look at the categories, the one on the top, the 5.2 million, represents your net investment in capital assets. So that's all of your assets, less any accumulated depreciation, which is the using up of those assets over their useful life. So that decreased about 290,000 this year, and that had to do with limited new capital purchases in 2020. Definitely spent less on the materials than you did in previous years. The middle portion of the bar, the skinny orange stripe that you see there, is restricted. So these are amounts that are set aside and have been contributed to the library for very specific purposes. And that didn't change a lot from last year. It did increase to 95,000 at the end of the year. And then that bottom number is the unrestricted that we touched on the previous slide. And that is what's available for future spending and represents an increase of $442,000 just based on the operations of the library for 2020. So that is a high-level look at the financials. Is there anything that you'd like to look at closer or any specific questions that you have?
Anybody got any specific questions to any part of that? That was a really good report. Pretty detailed, simple enough, you know, everybody can understand.
Sure. Thank you.
Any questions? Boy, nobody has a question. That's pretty good.
Thanks, Nancy.
Yeah, now I have to figure out how to stop sharing my screen. There we go.
Perfect. Comment.
Okay, Karen.
I just want to thank Linda Treb, who's not here tonight, and Amy Anderson for navigating this audit together through some uncharted territory, and Nancy and her colleagues for working with us to make that happen. It was not an easy audit because there was a lot of unknowns going into it, and they worked through them all and we ended up with some really good results. So thanks to all of them for that work.
Well, this is an approval item, so I'll be looking for a motion.
So moved.
Lee, is there a second?
I'll second it, Mike.
Mike seconded. Motion's been made and seconded. Anybody want any more discussion on it? Otherwise, Patty, call the roll.
Okay, Lisa?
Aye.
Mike?
Aye.
Dave?
Aye.
Lee?
Aye.
Ed?
Aye.
Randy?
Aye.
Carries. Then for discussion, we have the unassigned fund balance on page 19. I don't know who wishes to talk about that. Karen?
I'll talk about it a little bit. I'm going to try. So the unassigned fund balance from the 2020 audit reports is $5.727 million. We wanted to draw your attention to the four adjustments to the December 31st balance that include that HRA custodial fund designation and all of those other board-approved reserve assignments, and that is resulting in a $1.167 million decrease to the unassigned fund balance, and that's as of January 1st of 2021, so we're traveling back in time tonight. When the 2021 budget and monthly expenses are applied, there's 5.74 months of reserves going into the 2022 budget discussions. The three-month reserve requirement for 2021 is $2.38 million, which leaves $2.177 million in excess over that required amount. And that's after the adjustments. And again, that is as of December 31st, 2020. These numbers are also before the $315,000 proposed in the 2022 budget. So we just wanted to draw your attention to that and see if there's any discussion that needs to take place.
Would you repeat the last part about the 300 and some thousand?
Sure. So in the 2022 budget proposal, remember Karen had brought over another $315,000 into that budget from the reserves to offset the increase to the signatories.
Okay, gotcha.
So, Mr. Chair, it's Randy. So, in other words, we still, after taking that 300 and change out, we still got 5.74 months of reserve, correct?
That is before.
It's before.
Yes.
Okay.
So we don't have any idea where it is after that, right?
I did not. I can try to calculate it, but again, that would, but it, what would happen is a whole nother audit cycle.
Yeah. All right.
Take place.
Yeah. No. That's fine.
Yep. Mr. Chair, I'd like to point out one thing too. The other change with this calculation versus last year's is our monthly operating expenses were lower last year. So this is based on those 3 months average from 2020, which could change again in 2021 and 2022. So this is kind of a moving number based on what we're actually spending. And so it's never precise, but it is going the direction we were aiming for.
Okay.
And that's why we wanted to bring it to your attention. It is getting closer to that 5.5 mark that we were kind of shooting for.
Mr. Chair, Dave.
Yes.
Karen, on our staffing issues, we're down on staffing issues. How long will that continue?
It's hard to say. We are trying to fill positions now, and we are seeing activity starting to increase going into summer. But as soon as we fill a position, one seems to vacate, and that's kind of a rolling cycle. It's hard to say whether we'll be able to continue to recruit into those positions. In the board packet, the HR report is in there, and it shows our headcount is down by over 20 people year over year. So, you know, we'll be filling positions, but will we be able to keep them filled? And then, you know, are we going to fill at the same level? We're continuing to evaluate that. There's a lot of unknowns right now.
Well, I just, Mr. Chair, that impacted this year as we go forward, because that's kind of a moving target then. So we're not sure of what the end result will be here because of staffing issues. And
Karen, are all those staffing issues built into the budget though, right?
All of the positions are budgeted for a full 12 months.
Okay.
Gotcha. So if we don't fill them, we're actually over budgeted.
But we've done that over the past few years, right?
Right. Right. Yes. That's why we typically have a surplus.
Right.
And even with the HRA adjustment, it appears we're running a surplus for 2021 right now.
Okay. Thank you.
Do we have, Karen, do you know, or don't you track that? Do we have a lot of retirements coming forth or anything that you can see?
No, we've been kind of working through them. Okay. With the LSCs in particular, I think we're almost to the end of that. We do have a few coming in the administrative area. And when those happen, we'll look at what makes sense in terms of filling. And the piece we always have in our control, even if we decide to fill something, we don't have to fill it the next day. So we do have a little wiggle room there too.
Okay. We just heard today about the number of retirees we got coming down the pipe and the inability to fill those positions because there's nobody out there.
Either we're in a similar situation in that our library aides historically over the last, I don't know, 5-10 years have typically been retirees. So that's where a lot of our vacancies are now, because when we reopened, many of those workers chose not to come back. And what I'm not sure about now is with the mask requirements lifting and more things opening up, will there be another wave of people deciding that this just isn't their post-retirement job that they wanted it to be? So we did work through a phase of that once already. It's just a matter of whether there's another one coming.
Supposedly, yeah, they're going to pay people to go back to work now. So
well, that might help.
We'll see what happens.
Yeah. Any other questions? I believe No, that's not an approval item. Any other questions for Karen or Amy?
No other questions, Mr. Chair, but just people seem okay and comfortable with this new outlook with us sitting at 5.74 months in reserve going into budgeting, or just continuing with the path that we had proposed.
Well, if I may, Mr. Chair, what's a little puzzling to me is we were drawing a lot of good interest for a while. What happened there?
Interest rates right now, interest that was on the books when I started was at 1.99%, and we're buying CDs at 0.10 right now. So it's just a significant interest downfall right now.
Okay. Sorry, Lisa, I didn't mean to take away from your question there, but.
I just kind of want to get a sense of a comfort level of where we're at with this going forth right now.
Well, Mr. Chair, it's Randy. You know, to answer Lisa's question, I think Karen mentioned that with that drawdown, we're going to be at about 5.5 months reserve. Again, I still think it's a little high, but, you know, it's better than it was.
Well, and if I may, I've told Karen that our board looks at that reserve.
Yeah.
And when it comes to budget time, they say to me, why do you guys have such a high reserve and not utilizing it? So I've shared that with Karen and especially with our county, and Ed, you're maybe in the same boat. I don't know, but our county board looks at that and says, well, okay, we get an increase. Why aren't you using your reserve money a little bit? So.
Yeah. I've heard the same thing over the last few years.
But Ed, you don't hear it any longer. Just admit it.
I think some of them have been, one of them has been trained to ask the questions yet.
They've had a few switches on their board. So
I have one that isn't trained and he does all the time. So
he hasn't gone through the Bowerly school.
No, he hasn't did that 101 training yet on that one. So.
So I'm comfortable because I think, like we've said, there's some unknowns going forward. Right. We'll keep an eye on it.
And as everything gets more back to normal, you'll probably see interest rates creep up. And that would help us out somewhat. You know, maybe we'll get back to 2/3 of what we were receiving for interest.
And Mr. Chair, Karen, and maybe I missed it, did we hear from the state what our funding will be?
We won't know that until September. And in terms of the bill, it is still in the education budget proposal on both the Senate and the House side. It went to conference committee, but we don't know anything more than that. We've been this close before, but this year it seemed like we had a little more momentum because we involved Senator Gazelka and Representative Wolgamott was the chief author in the House. He was very excited about it. And Representative Mark Johnson on the Senate side was also an enthusiastic proponent for it. And he was they're both on the education committees in both the House and the Senate.
So what's the deal? I thought I seen a flash today that they've come to a budget agreement at the state.
They agreed on a number, but they haven't agreed how they're getting to
that. Okay. I didn't see all the details, so.
Yeah.
I also talked about it probably will be in June sometime before they actually get it done.
Yeah.
Well, they're having a special session. That's what they're going to do. Yeah.
That's just normal in Minnesota.
Yep.
Is normal. Yeah.
Okay, any other questions on that part? Then we'll move on to the letter of credit that needs approval on page 21.
So the letter of credit we get every other month or so from the Federal Home Loan Bank, and it's tied to the balances that we keep at Bremer Bank. What we're asking is just for an approval of this. What it does is it increases the amount of collateralized balances that we have there. So is adjusted by the amount and the amount that we're keeping there, and also with current market conditions. I did call Bremer because it is a different amount than our last several, which was at $200,000. This one is at $110,000. And again, I was told that it's just a fluctuation in the market and the amount that we're keeping there. But looking at it compared to the last several months' balances that we've had there, it's more than enough. So.
Okay. This is an approval item.
Chair,
yes, Dave.
I'll second that for discussion. Karen, when do we draw on this?
We typically don't. It just backs the investments we have at Bremer.
Okay.
It's not a line of credit. It's a letter of credit. There's a difference.
Yeah, okay. I was wondering, I was a little confused on that, so thank you.
Any other questions?
Yeah, Mr. Chair, isn't it, this is guaranteed, right, money that, or I thought it was $250,000, but then it says combined, so it's, I don't know if you can answer that question.
So FDIC insurance coverage is at the $250,000, and what Bremer's doing is it's actually, like, it's offering more support to the library. So they're offering $110,000 by issuing this letter of credit. So our collateralized balances can be up to $360,000.
Okay, thanks. Anything else? So we have a motion and a second on the floor. Patty, you want to call the roll?
All right. Lisa?
Aye.
Mike?
Aye.
Dave?
Aye.
Lee?
Ed? I think he's asleep.
Yeah, he must be sleeping.
Ed?
Aye.
Randy?
Aye.
Lee?
Oh, okay. I don't know where Lee went.
He went to get a hard seltzer.
Okay. Anyway, it carried with Lee abstaining or something. All right. Next meeting, July 20th, 2021.